a syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Hour number three here on a Taco Tuesday. And we just took a little break there to do some sports. Let me get a few text messages and catch those up and make sure I am honoring the fact that y'all are participating in the show. Let's see what all we got here. Going back to the last traffic. No, I got that one already. Brandon from Union Grove texted in. He says, regarding the illegal immigration situation, he said they are doing this to get more Democratic voters. It's so wrong. He said, I actually am a victim. I married a woman He said, I thought for love, but after the time frame was up, she left me. She was a migrant. Wow, Brandon, I hate to hear that, man. And I'm sorry for your situation there. By the way, I will say, too, another point on that issue with illegal immigration is that it's not just for votes, that in some ways it's really designed just to break society in general, just to break it, like just to make it difficult for society to fully function. Why would you do that, Phil? Because there are people out there who believe that the only way they can gain control is to break what's here so they can control it better and then make it back the way they want it. And I really believe some of that is happening, like, right now. There's that. Bruce from Springville says, with regards to the illegal immigrants, says, number one, cut all benefits. Number two, put agents in the hospital ER so they can round up whole families for deportation. Simple but effective. It would be. You got to have the agents first, though. That's the problem. Resource. This is going to be resource intensive. Just make no bones about it. Dorothy from Elkmont says, turn off the power and the water to those apartment buildings. Yeah, the ones in Aurora, Colorado. Yeah, that'll get them out in a heartbeat, wouldn't it? Tracy from Athens says, does that mean we get more Haitians now in North Alabama? I don't know, but possibly, yes. He's talking about the fact that the Biden-Harris administration has now reinstituted a thing called what was the designation for it? Let me find it real quick. Here it is, Cuban, Haitian, Nicaraguan, Venezuelan Parole Program. It's a CHNV. They've identified those four nations as being places where there's so much distress that people should be allowed out, and we should just take care of it. Now, listen, we are a benevolent people. Make no mistake, I think America gives more than any other nation in the history of the world. But at some point, you have to also recognize that if you burn through what you've got nothing left to give. And so there has to be a stewardship. There has to be a management process. There has to be an administration to what we're doing. And there's not right now. There's just like, ollie, ollie, income free. And it's just madness. I mean, they're just flooding across the border because they're getting free stuff. Where can we go? San Diego gives out free stuff. Let's go there. New York City gives out free stuff. Let's go there. And then they got the programs like this whole CHNV program. And they're looking at it going, well, it's hard for people in Cuba and Haiti and Nicaragua and Venezuela. So we're just going to let them in. We'll go there and help them get here. We'll just send a plane. That's what we'll do. Load up, fellas. The next thing you know, they're loading up and they're flying them in. At that point, you look at it and go, okay, they went through a process, but was it a process that was really timely? And are we able to maintain it? Because if you're bringing them in by the plane load, in fact, this article, where was it? It was talking about how many per month. A program, this is not illegals crossing the border, sneaking in the dark of night, swimming in the Rio Grande, trying to do all the things they can to break through the border lines. This is a program that Biden-Harris put in place that, according to this piece from the Federation for American Immigration Reform, they just reinstituted it despite the fact that there's been audits showing massive fraud and abuse of the program. They decided to restart it quietly just last week. Just, hey, don't, on the QT, man, we're flying the planes down to Cuba and Haiti and Nicaragua and Venezuela again. It's been great getting the old band back together. They're doing it again, and they're bringing in upwards of 30,000 a month. A month. How do we sustain that? I want the world to be a better place, but if you tear down the house, then there's no place for anyone to live. It at some point, it just boggles the mind. All right, moving on. Commander from New Hope says, Phil, just hopped on, not sure what the topic is right now. Okay. Says, I wanted to ask, okay, so Commander, you're getting off topic, brother. I'm gonna stay on topic if you don't mind. He's asking me questions about politics, and I may come back to it in a minute. Brian from Huntsville texted in, and Brian from Huntsville was looking to get onto the Right Side Ruffians Pick'em group for college football that John from Huntsville set up, and he is now squared away. John, I got him the information he needed. Melinda from Decatur says, a man, a U.S. citizen that does painting jobs in our area, told me he has lots of jobs for illegal aliens that can he has lost lots of jobs to illegal aliens that can undercut his price. He can't compete with the cheap labor they have, and he's suffering economically. I believe that's true. And you may look at it and go, well, you know, we better lower your price there, dude. Doesn't work that way. If you're doing it legally, then you're required to meet minimum wage requirements. You're required to meet OSHA requirements. You're required to meet licensing requirements. You're required to do all the regular. If you're going to do it legally, you're required to go through certain processes and have certain things in place. And even, oh, by the way, be a licensed home builder. In Alabama, don't you get caught working on someone's house and be unlicensed. And yet, there are whole crews that come out and you look at it and go, really? Like if I showed up right now, would y'all jump in your vehicles and leave? I don't know. And they don't go through all the processes. Now, some do. There are some folks that come here and you think, my gosh, I wish everybody worked like you. And you look at it and go, your work ethic is amazing. And I know that because they are determined to come here and make a better life for themselves. But then there are some that are just here basically usurping the economy and straining the resources. And we're doing nothing to determine who's who. Because if you're going to let people in, you got to know that there is a means by which they can be supported. That's why, we even have a requirement for all of these coming into the parole program to have sponsors, except they don't screen the sponsors. And one of the things they just found in this, I think it was in this same program, the CHNV program, the Cuban, Haitian, Nicaraguan, Venezuelan parole program, that there was such epic abuse of the sponsorship program that there were some people that were known as serial sponsors, sponsoring thousands of you can't sponsor thousands. That's not even realistic. And yet that's how jacked up the program is. Jack from Ardmore says, I think all the takeovers in Colorado and Chicago are plans to control the election. What do you think? I don't know, and I say that because, Jack, it's a great point, but those are also blue states. Those are heavily – we're not going to win – Republicans are not going to win Colorado or Chicago right now. So I don't know that they would swing things in a different direction. The place to watch are the battleground states. When you see Pennsylvania, when you see Georgia, when you see some of the other – Arizona, the battleground states – are absolutely targets right now. And that's where you really want to watch massive influxes of people that could swing the votes. Now, keep in mind, too, it is illegal to vote in a federal election if you are not here as a U.S. citizen. You're prohibited from doing so. The problem we've got is that some of these blue areas, blue politicians, Democrats, liberals, are allowing them to register, or at the very least, enabling the ability for them to register by doing crazy. The Biden-Harris administration is doing things like sending information to prisoners on how to how to register to vote. They're mandating things like Medicaid offices. If you are seen as a Medicaid patient, then you will be given a voter registration. Wait a minute. You're not asking for citizenship. You're just saying, did you go to the emergency room and get something? Make sure you give them a voter registration. That's just ripe for disaster right there. Last couple before the break, Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee says, doesn't really matter why a person comes here. If they cross the border illegally, then they are a criminal. Yes, indeed, that is true. Thomas from Athens says, Colonel, the much-vaunted bipartisan immigration bill, that failed included funding for offices in Qatar and Syria for the USCIS to process refugees directly to the USA, just like the CHNV program. How well could refugees from those nearby countries be vetted? Listen, the whole thing's a mess. That bipartisan immigration bill, by the way, Kamala Harris wants to just fabricate this story about Donald Trump killed that bill and it would have put 1,500 new people on the border. No, you porked that thing up. That was not a let's stop immigration bill. That was a what else can we throw in there on the liberal wish list because we know they want something done on the border. Maybe we can tag team it. Listen, that's if you as long as they have legislation that is not required to remain germane to the topic at hand, then they can do anything they want. And that's what they do. They pork it up and they build out things they want and they put their wish list in and they use the one little stringer. In this case, it was the border. Whereas the House had already passed, I think it's HB1, had already passed a bill that just dealt with the border, period. And Chuck Schumer won't take it up. Why? Well, he's scared of it. That's why. All right, Big Rig, take me to the break. We're going to come right back and switch gears and jump on that fighting for kids dipper. Listen, brace yourselves. This one's going to make you mad. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, slinging truth bombs everywhere we go. So, by the way, Steve from Harvest just clarified for me. He says, for clarification, the bill that was already passed by the House is H.R. 2. I think I said H.R. 1. It's H.R. 2, Secure the Border Act of 2023. All right, let's shift gears here for a minute. Our kids, our most precious resource. There is nothing more important in terms of the future of our nation than our kids. And we have to set the environment for them, obviously. We have to do what we can to make sure they've got a nation to be a part of. We got to support and defend the Constitution. We got to do the things necessary to preserve the right to vote and the freedoms that we experience as Americans. But all that to say, it means nothing if the next generation is not going to be here to carry it on. So I believe that kids are really our greatest resource. That being said, liberals have discovered the same. I mean, they may be foolish, but they're not dumb. You know what I'm saying? Liberal progressives have targeted children more than we have ever seen. I think there's always been a thing out there about identifying kids as, you know, targets for liberal progressivism because they know as surely as we do, raise up a child the way they go, it should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. They want to catch them early and create older liberal progressives by having inculcated them early. That being said, we can't let it happen. Now, here's a piece from 1819 News. I pulled this one. This came out this morning. Actually, yesterday. Multiple bills filed now to address ongoing state library controversy. So I'm just going to point out again that I never saw this coming. If you had asked me 6-7 years ago, hey, where's the next big battleground going to be in the culture wars? I would not have said libraries. Would you? Any of you? Did you see it coming? Who does? Libraries. Go figure. 1819 News, though, points out that there were several key pieces of legislation that were allowed to just wither on the vine last year, and they shouldn't have. One of the reasons is, and it points it out in the bill, that despite having broad support from Republicans in both House and Senate, the state House and Senate, that the highly publicized gambling legislation led to a slew of library bills dying before the session was over. So the bottom line is, I told you last year, that gambling bill, it sucks all the air out of the room. Nothing else can happen when that thing's on the floor. Well, that's what happened. We had good bills like some of the ones that we're talking about getting refiled now just die because they couldn't get to them. But it says residents across the state have taken to library boards, city councils, county commissions, state boards, and state lawmakers to address the preponderance of sexually explicit LGBTQ-promoting books intended for minors in local libraries. That's the thing. They want our kids. And by the way, I'm going to tell you this right here about these Alabama library fights, but when I get into Chicago here in a minute, it's going to blow your mind. So lawmakers have already refiled the 2024 bills that were not able to get passed. A couple of them. Here's a couple of them, just so you know. State Senator Chris Elliott, who's been on the show multiple times, has Senate Bill 6. It would establish that local library board members, serve at the pleasure of their appointing authorities, and they can be removed by a two-thirds vote, meaning you're not going to have these folks that get entrenched and you can't ever get them off the library board, and they're just liberal as the day is long. The most substantial bill comes from State Representative Arnold Mooney, which would repeal the state's current law exempting public and school libraries from obscenity laws. I thought we already had them covered, but apparently they're saying there's a loophole that allows public libraries, school libraries, to be exempt from obscenity laws. And I'm like, what? Yes. Current law states, it shall be unlawful for any person to knowingly distribute, possess with intent to distribute, or offer or agree to distribute any obscene material or any device designed or marketed as useful primarily for the stimulation of, anyway, the bottom line is pornography. Material not otherwise obscene may be obscene under the section if it is offered to do, if the material is offered with a intent for commercial exploitation for erotica solely for the sake of, can you imagine? What I just read to you is basically saying pornography is not currently banned per se in public schools and public libraries. Why? And I have to ask the question, and this is the question that doesn't get asked enough. Hey, liberals, why are you fighting that? Why do you want it to be in the libraries for kids? When we get back from this break, I got a piece in the Washington Examiner that's going to blow your mind about what is happening right now in schools in Chicago. I mean, this is next level. The story I've got is only about a week and a half old. And it talks about the curriculum literally being put in place in Chicago schools with all the fanfare you could imagine. This is wonderful. This is great. Let's teach them about gender fluidity. And at what age do we start talking about puberty blockers? Well, you can only imagine. Right about the time they're hitting puberty. Listen, this is, they do want our kids. It's a fight. But by God, it's a fight worth having. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I do mean this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, Bertha, Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, cool thing here, Inspire Advisors, one of our new advertisers, Inspire Advisors wants me to make sure y'all know that so many of y'all have already checked out, you know, oh, this whole biblically responsible investing thing that they get. They actually sit down with you and help you to square up being proud of what you're investing in. So you're not only growing your retirement plans and all that kind of stuff, your portfolio is looking better, but it's also filled up with things that you're proud of because it stands for what you stand for. Well, they are actually going to start holding some classes, if you will, some training sessions. And you can sign up for these. And I'm telling you, Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they are specialists at biblically responsible investing. And they would love for you to take part in this free consultation to learn more about what they do. But what they're doing is also putting on these classes. And so, yeah, I'm serious. So right now, they're starting their fall educational series right now in the month of September. And each month, they're going to offer a unique learning opportunity. They're going to have like closer looks at how to analyze your portfolios, how to transform them with the biblically aligned investments, how to screen companies and select the right assets, but also keep your kind of your risk-reward balance right. And then they're going to have more in October and November, and they want to just basically invite you. They said, Phil, go ahead and tell them this part. They want to invite you to take a deep dive into your own retirement planning and your risk management, and they would be glad for you to be a part of it. If you want to know more, if you want to sign up for one of these free classes, go to their website. It's Inspire Advisors at www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or for that matter, go to our website, as always, rightsidemedia.org, rightsidemedia.org. Go to the Right Side Radio Sponsors tab. Click on it, and their logo takes you right to their website. The bottom line is this. There's limited availability for these classes. If you want to be involved, sign up at the link on their website and just get going, man. Get smarter with your finances. And like get them aligned with what you believe in, too. How cool is that? All right, let me jump on a couple of texts, and then I'm going to go right back to my topic. James from ARAB says, why doesn't the current administration extend the same level of benevolence that they show to the CHNV parole program to citizens of Armenia, England, France. I don't know, brother. I have no idea. Armenians had land seized by Turkey. England, France, and Germany are endangering their own citizens. Brother, I can't answer that question. All I know is this. The State Department makes a determination on what's considered to be a distressed country, and then they go, let's all bring them in for free. Be awesome. Thomas from Athens, thank you for your text. And I, by the way, I see that. And in fact, I think you sent us one last Friday, brother, and I am so sorry that I did not see that until it was too late to say thank you on the air. But anyway, Thomas, I see the text. Thank you very much. I'll get back to you if we can. All right, let me jump on this topic I'm on, fighting for our kids. So here's a piece, just to flashback a little bit, just to give you an idea of the kind of strong-arming we're seeing. Don't think this is just, well, the problems we have are the local library boards. That's not always. Sometimes it's Big Uncle Sam. Sometimes it's Uncle Joe, really. Story here from the Washington Examiner, and this one dates back to last December. So I'm looking at inside of a year, Biden administration, all the issues began to arise with the way they were going to interpret Title IX, which is designed to provide protections and assurances to, you know, female participants in sports and education and all of it. But all of a sudden in December, we found out that they were about to force schools to comply with progressive ideologies on gender and sexuality or risk losing the money for free and reduced school lunches. I have no words for this sufficient to describe how just, that's extortion. That's absolute extortion. What they basically just did there was they said, well, we've decided as a part of the USDA, not the Department of Education this time. This is the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Why? Because the Department of Food and Nutrition Services is a part of USDA. Well, that's the whole Biden whole of government approach, right? Yes, indeed, it is. What they're saying is, hey, I know you got a lot of kids who don't get a nutritious meal at home because they're indigent, they don't have good, you know, care, things about, they live in distressed situations. And I know that when they come to school, the federal government has said, we're going to help feed them. That's a wonderful thing. But if you don't believe in gender ideology, we're going to take away that money and those kids are going to go hungry. How you like us now? That's what they're saying. That is literally the story I've got right here in my hands. The USDA said that it would change its longstanding interpretation of Title IX, the law broadly governing discrimination protections in education. USDA said it would expand its previous prohibitions against discriminating based on sex, but it would now define sex to include sexual orientation and gender identity. And if you do not comply, then they will withhold money for food. Kid you not. Sarah Perry is a lawyer at the Heritage Foundation. She said, this is no small change. This is a significant interpretation to say that sex equals sexual orientation and gender identity. We know back to 1972 when they put the Title IX in place in the Women's Liberation Movement. There was an entire campaign by LGBTQ activists to be included in it back then, and they did not do it on purpose, and now they want it reinterpreted without going through the court system or Congress. And if you don't get on board, well, they'll just let the kids go hungry. But that's got nothing. Well, you know what? That's never mind. That's a big part of the problem, but here's this one. Local libraries, yes. Federal government, yes. And then you get this. Things like Chicago Public Schools, one of the largest public school systems in the nation. Extremely liberal. Teachers Union has got it wrapped up. Daily Wire has a piece that came out last week. Chicago Public Schools are pushing kids towards hardcore queer theory in health education classes. Parents Defending Education, which is a nonprofit that goes after these issues, released a report showing that first graders are taught about gender identity, fifth graders are talked about puberty blocker medications. It's an actual curriculum. And it required, like, let me just do this. You ready? Chicago Public Schools. In pre-K, we're talking 3 and 4 years old. In pre-K, they're taught to name at least three different types of family structures and explain why no one type of family is better than another. What? in first grade. They are taught in the Chicago curriculum to define gender, gender identity, and gender role stereotypes, and name at least two things they've been taught about gender role stereotypes and how those things may limit people of all genders. First grade. In third grade, they're taught to, quote, explain the difference, it's a quote, quote, explain the difference between sex assigned at birth and gender identity. Oh boy. Third grade. And then, quote, to expand their understanding of what it can mean to be transgender and the concept of gender expression. By fifth grade. Y'all, keep in mind, some of these kids can't tie their own shoes at this point. Some of them can't, you know, we're talking about kids that are still learning to eat with a fork. All right? We're talking about kids that if you told them to go upstairs and get dressed for school, no telling what they'd wear. They'd be wearing their pajamas to school. I mean, listen, these are young, impressionable kids. They're at a point where they are being targeted by activists. By fifth grade, students in the system are being taught about puberty blockers, which have been linked to myriad health issues, including fertility and lack of bone development. So they're being taught about, I mean, what's fifth grade? That's what, 12 years old-ish? You're just about to see the onset of puberty, especially girls, which always seems to be a little bit accelerated. But you're talking about things that have no bearing upon day-to-day life. And you're talking about them as if they're not controversial. And you're also talking about them as if they're mandatory. Chicago Public Schools. I've got story after story like this. And I'm trying to figure out if I got time to do this justice, but I am looking. By the way, did you know that there's a national organization that came into Huntsville, Alabama recently and did a decoy operation and filmed the taking down of a guy who was trying to meet up with an 11-year-old boy for sex? But they caught him, and it was an epic takedown. There's apparently a podcast, which I learned about by seeing them on social media, called Predator Poachers. They messaged this guy who's then saying that they were 11 years old as a decoy and built it up for a couple of months. And then they went and met him at a park. And yeah, he got taken down. He got taken down hard. In fact, he got bum rushed by the police who tried to get up and run. Didn't work out that well because this is going to say, oh, boy's not an athlete, right? And next thing you know, he is body slammed to the ground and he started crying and basically, I can't breathe. And they said, right, we're not even touching you right now, sir. But that's right here in Huntsville, Alabama. I'm telling you, liberals want your kids, and everything we do has to be about protecting our greatest resource, which is our children. I got a call on the line. Let me grab that for the break. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Well, I was doing well until that last statement, but as far as that goes, thank God and thank everybody that followed him and getting rid of that predator.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what men are supposed to be. We're supposed to be sheepdogs, not coyotes. We're supposed to protect.
That's exactly right.
But on the other thing is, why, for all these policies public schools are going into, why do people that chose not to have children, why do they have to have part of their money and taxes go towards that? That was it, sir.
That's a great question. Hey, good point, man. Thanks, man. We have guaranteed protections in our state constitution, for instance, in Alabama, to provide for education. It's a constitutional mandate under the state constitution that we provide an education. The taxes, and by the way, I will say this, the teachers union years ago when it had more sway, even though it has a lot of sway still, but in more sway in Alabama. I mean, at one point, the teachers union was the political force in Alabama, period. Like nothing happened, not just education stuff. Nothing happened unless the teachers union approved it. I'll tell you about that another day. But the reality is the vast majority of what we call the growth taxes or the growth revenues, meaning things that go up in a good economy, all feed the education budget. Alabama is one of only two states or three states, I think, in the nation that has split budgeting. Everything education in one budget, everything else it takes to run the state in the other. So we have hardly any means by which we can appropriate funds and fill gaps because the teachers union got it styled so that it's hard to unwind, man. But the teachers union got it styled so that much of the growth tax goes to just education. And that's things like sales taxes, payroll taxes. And then you have we have some good stuff now with online sales that also helps the general fund, the other things. But Brian makes a great point. The frustrating thing is we all pay for it. We all pay for it, even when we have no kids involved in it. And people, you know, we just got new laws passed. Our school choice bills have changed the dynamic. And you don't have to have your tax dollars only be used for public schools. You can now, under school choice laws we just passed, I mean, they're fresh in Alabama. We are now able to see people at least, I mean, you're still going to pay taxes. But at the very least, you're allowed to say, I want my kids to be homeschooled, or I want my kids to go to a private school, or I want my kids to go to a different public school. So I'm using my tax dollars somewhere else. You can do that now. Couldn't do that until recently. All right, Big Rig, take me to a break, man. We'll do the last break of the day here on Taco Tuesday. And don't forget, tomorrow's going to be good. It's the middle of the week, and we got the Grand Council coming tomorrow afternoon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Giving you all the truth you can fit onto a bumper sticker. So let's wrap this up. So our kids, our greatest resource. And yes, it's worth fighting for. Absolutely worth fighting for. And don't lose sight of that. When liberals, when you encounter, if you go to a school board meeting, okay, use your words, Phil. Here we go. If you go to a school board meeting, a library board meeting, if you choose to speak out at one of these locations, don't let them distract. Why won't you let me love who I want to love? No one's stopping you. Just stop telling our kids about sex. Why won't you let me just be me? I'm not stopping you from being you. Go be you. Just stop trying to be you in front of my kids. Remember, stay focused on the topic. That's what they'll try and distract. In this community, everyone loves and it's okay. No, it's really not. You know what? If you're an adult and there are aspects of your life that are, you know, not mainstream, that is not something for you to teach pre-K, elementary school, for that matter, junior high and high school. Because if they're of an age that the law is already designed to protect, then what makes you think you're allowed to infiltrate that? I got a piece here I pulled off of Houston Public Media. It's right at about 3 weeks old. There's apparently out in the Houston area, there's a school board called the Katy School Board. It's a local public school board. And I'll be honest with you, this impresses me. So Katy School Board trustees on this particular day back in mid-August discussed a policy that would restrict elementary and junior high libraries any books that discuss gender fluidity, giving parents stronger authority on what books their children read. Really? Yes. The district policy would give parents authority to challenge library books and then allow them to be reviewed. The board president, a guy named Victor Perez, he says, this is really basic. He says, we're here to educate. If we have books that somehow got in our libraries that are sexually explicit or confuse kids or they're obscene, whatever, they need to get out. Thank you, common sense. But listen to what they've done about this. Think about this. School board trustee Don Champagne said at least 48 books have already been under review this year alone. 48. That means parents were allowed to challenge. They said we've had 20 books under review. We've already retained 16 books. In other words, they went through the process. They decided some were not that objectionable, they could stay, but they said 12 books have already been removed from the library shelves within the school district. Think about that. 48 books challenged, not all of them taken off the shelves, but at least a dozen of them were deemed inappropriate when they realized what they were, because parents were willing to speak out and because the school board was willing to listen. That's what happens when you fight for your kids. I'm just telling you. The grades are in. John from Huntsville says Big Rig gets a solid A for his solid Taco Tuesday performance. JP gets an A++ for his spectacular sports commentary, which means Taco Tuesday's winner is obviously Phil with an A++. Congratulations. Thank you, John. Appreciate you.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I didn't win with my sound effect.
It's because you weren't allowed to get extra credit points today.
That's right.
That whole thing hosed you, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Penny from Athens says, This must be all they're being taught. No wonder American kids can't read, write, or do arithmetic. Meanwhile, Chinese children start learning calculus at 5 years old. We've been seeing evidence of it for years on college campuses. Mm. And then Rex from Huntsville says Democrats are starting to starve children into submission. Yeah, and their parents too. Listen, I'm serious when I say this. They are our greatest resource. I mean, our kids are grown, but now that I have grandkids, I'm just going to tell you, man. It's just reminding me over again how precious they are. And there's a reason why Jesus said, suffer unto me the little children, because they are indeed precious. And because they require, not need, but actually require additional assistance. They're at an impressionable age where we have an obligation to raise them up in the way they go, so when they get old, they will not depart from it. And that means sometimes shielding them and just saying, fighting for them. All right, you guys, listen, bottom line is this. There are indeed more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. So y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.